Our scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who have prophesied of the grace that would come to you. This far the word of God. Our subject is the heavenly inheritance, or the blessedness of the risen Christ. And the verse begins by saying, blessed be God our Father. God our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lively hope. We hope in Jesus Christ. Hope is a confident expectation. We are confident in our Lord. He changes not. It is a joyful anticipation. And the foundation of our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people, they can't praise God because they don't know what's been granted unto them. They haven't received anything, so they've got nothing to give thanks for. But those to whom God has granted to see salvation, those to whom God has opened their heart to receive, have so much reason. They realize that they have not received a minor blessing. They realize that they've received something wonderful, mighty, abundant, abundant mercy from the Lord. And when we realize that we have received abundance from the Lord, we cannot be silent. When we see the richness of what God has done, the divine mercy, the living hope that has freely been given, we bless God for this blessing that we are begotten by the Father, that we are born again. That's what we bless the Lord for. Our first birth, when we were born of our earthly parents, we were born into this world. This world is full of sin. This world is full of misery and disappointment. But when we are born again, begotten again, born again, our second birth is a birth into joy, into purity, into mercy, into life eternal. We shall never die. The moment you are born into this earth by earthly parents, you begin getting older and older. Death comes closer and closer. But when we are born again, we shall live for eternity, forevermore. And this is not only shall we live forevermore, but when we get to meet our Father face to face, he shall give us a new body. And this earthly body that we have now shall be made new. And we shall live forever in a new body in his presence forever and ever. One of the commentaries pens it like this. Poor soul, What a vile lodging you have on this earth, but soon the resurrection shall mend everything. You shall receive a body like his. How dull you are now, how cloudy are your lives now, but then you shall be pure as crystal, clear as crystal. You shall shine brighter than the sun. Oh, an incorruptible body, a glorious body, an immortal body, a never-dying body, a blessed body shall be given to you beyond what you ever thought possible. This is why we bless the Father. We bless him. We thank him. He has blessed us with indescribable blessings. A living Christian sees this and rejoices in the sunshine of thankfulness. It's the ruling principle of those that are born again. Those that are born again are thankful. Those that lose sight of the blessedness become dull with thanksgiving. And when we don't give thanks, we lose so much joy forgetting what has been given freely to us, forgetting his abundant mercy. But thankfulness causes us to appreciate what has been granted and what we already possess. And even when we pray, we must be thankful. Scripture reminds us, and it says that we are to make our supplication with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is very, very important. We read of the 10 lepers that were healed by the Lord. The Lord said to them that they must go and show themselves to the priest. And in obedience to the Lord, they went and showed themselves to the priest. And on the way, they were healed. And one of them came back to the one who gave him the healing. One came back to the Lord to thank the Lord for the healing. And the Lord said, were there not 10 that were healed? Where are the other 9? And this is a terrible picture of mankind. Only 1 in 10 give thanks to the Lord for the great things that he has done. Oh, I want to be amongst the one who gives thanks unto the Lord for what he has done. I want to be sure to thank him and praise him. For the leper, the reason he was so happy was because he was cleansed and healed. But the reason we are so grateful to the Lord is because we have received an eternal gift, an inheritance that is incorruptible, incorruptible inheritance. I remember once somebody gave me an iPhone. It was already old when I received it, but I was happy. I was thankful for this old phone. But do you know that after some time, the battery no longer held its charge? It only worked for a few hours, and then I dropped it, and the screen cracked, and then it stopped working altogether. It was useless. It was such a blessing when I got it, but that blessing grew old, and eventually I just threw it away. But not with the Lord's blessings. The Lord's blessings never wear out. They are incorruptible. They endure forever and ever. The Lord's blessing that he has given us is redemption. And no one is able to pluck us out of his hand. On earth, people can steal our blessings. But the eternal blessing that we have received from the Lord, nobody can steal it. Look at the next verse. The verse number 4, the scripture says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Joy floods our hearts for this glorious inheritance, which is prepared, unstained, uncorruptible, perfectly pure, and lasts forever, because it is made. Our inheritance is made with material that does not decay. What a mercy that it's kept by the power of God. Can you see? In heaven, it is kept for us, and we are kept for heaven. Heaven is prepared for us, and we are prepared for heaven. This is a double action, a double grace that is working in our lives. So this great blessing that we give thanks for, that we bless God for, is an incorruptible inheritance kept for us, and that He is preparing and keeping us, making us fit for heaven. This is what will result in eternal happiness. Doesn't this make your heart glad? Doesn't it make your heart swell with joy? Think of the old hymn writer. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to give praise to Thee. When we see what the Lord has done for us, when it begins to dawn on us and we begin to get understanding of just how wonderful it is, our redemption, we can say, oh, for 1,000 tongues to praise You. It is abundant mercy, abundant mercy. And this abundant mercy makes us want to yield to Him. For the scripture says, this is love for Him, that you obey Him. When we see how much He has done for us, we want to respond and love Him more. And our response is obedience and yielding to His precepts. We want to go an extra mile for Him. We want to be merciful to others. And do you know that when we are merciful to others, that others open their mouths and praise God as well? So we cause even more praise to go forth to God. How can we describe this blessing? A blessing is something that comes from God. A blessing is something that God gives. So much comes from God. In fact, everything we have that is of any real value comes from the Lord. But we can reduce the blessing of God to just three. We are born again. That's regeneration. It is done. It is in the past. Who else could give us life? Who else could wash away our sins? This is our first blessing, redemption and being born again. It has been done. And then the second blessing is our lively hope, which is our present blessing. We have a lively hope now. We have an anticipation on a strong foundation that our treasure, true treasure, is kept for us in heaven. And then our inheritance, blessing number three, our inheritance which is to come. Our inheritance which is to come, which is kept in heaven for us. The reason we have an inheritance, why do we have an inheritance? It's not wages. It's not earned. We don't deserve it. An inheritance comes to children from the Father. And we are made heirs or children of the Most High God. He adopts us into His family freely. And because we are children, we have an inheritance. If you're not a child of the Most High God, if you're not born again, how can you expect an inheritance? No, an inheritance comes to a child that is loved by the Father and to a child that loves the Father. And this inheritance that's coming to us, that's stored up in heaven for us, the scripture says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We have that inheritance because we are His children, because we have believed the gospel, because we have been adopted into the family. How much we have to be thankful for. Have you believed the gospel? Have you a lively hope? Are you a child of God? Have you got an inheritance? Or are you not sure? This next verse, and verse 5, the scripture says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are not in heaven yet, and there are many enemies. And the scripture says that we should not fear not. Fear not, for we are kept. Kept by the power of God. Now, many years ago, there was a war, I think it was in the Second World War, and there was a group of women and children in an enemy territory. And a double line of soldiers went and formed a double line between the woman and the enemy. And they escorted these women and children to a safe place. And when they got to a safe place, the soldiers left them. Well, we are being escorted to heaven. We have something that keeps us. The Lord will keep us. He will get us home. He will protect us. There is a double line of soldiers watching over us. We are safe, even although we are not in heaven, we are kept safe. He has promised that we will get there. We are kept. Nothing is able to pluck us out of his hand. Verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, or wherein ye greatly rejoice, or in this, what do we rejoice in? We don't rejoice in the trial. We rejoice in the redemption that is given, the abundant mercy which is shown unto us, that which we've just read about and just been speaking about, that great salvation that the Lord has given us. This word, greatly rejoice, it signifies from what's deep down in our heart. It is an overflow of what is in our heart. It is in spite of what we are currently experiencing. We cannot get this joy and rejoicing from a trial of heaviness. It springs from the truth that is embraced and held deep in our hearts that enables us to rejoice greatly. Allow me to give you an illustration. Sailors tell us that on the sea, there are currents of water on the surface. But just under the surface, there are other currents. One current may be flowing in one direction, but under the surface, there's another current flowing in the opposite direction. And this is a picture of the believer. On the surface, the believer may be affected by a strong current that is heavy and gloomy. But under the surface, there's another current. And this current is faithfully taking us heavenward. It doesn't matter what's really happening on the surface. We can praise God for that faithfulness, that we are heirs of the kingdom, that there's a future glory, that there's a future blessing, that our true inheritance is kept safe in heaven forever. The apostles, they called these manifold temptations, indicating that there will be many, many temptations, many problems that we face. And also they called it manifold because there are many different kinds of temptations that we will face. But why do we have these trials? Why do we have all these temptations? And verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. the trials that we experience are sent by God to prove and strengthen our graces and test the genuineness of our righteousness and to add strength unto us. The Lord, in His never-ending wisdom and His great love for us, places such a great value on people's faith that He will never shelter or hide you from a trial that will strengthen your faith. We would never have the precious faith that we've got now if it wasn't strengthened and if it wasn't tested with the fire. Let me give you an example. We are like trees. Trees would never be so well rooted if it wasn't for the wind that blew on them. And as the wind blew on them, the tree, in desperation, put down deeper roots and became more firm and more well established. And we, when trials come, we put down deeper roots into the graces and truths and promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are rooted so well, the wind will not shake us. We will be strong. We will be strong. Worldly comfort is a great enemy of faith. It doesn't make us strong. Instead, it loosens the joints of holy bravery. It snaps the sinews of consecrated courage. For example, Kenyans are the best runners. Supposing there was some Kenyans training for a marathon, and I said to them, don't trouble yourselves so much. Just sit and watch television, sit on the sofa, drink Coca-Cola, eat packets of crisps, no running for you. Do you think they'd win the race? No, that exercise made them fit for the race. And when a trial comes to us, we shouldn't complain and say, oh, the Lord doesn't love me. He's making us fit for the race. He's strengthening us to run even faster. He's strengthening us to face even greater storms. I was talking to my wife and I was saying, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. The world could get even darker and worse and worse and worse. And the battles that we are facing now, can it be that the Lord is strengthening us now to face that which is coming, to face the darkness that will come on the earth one day? I believe that's very possible. Our faith is much more precious than gold, which is purified by fire. No, rather the Lord is strengthening us and making us fit, causing us to be wholly dependent upon Him, causing us to place our full confidence and trust in Him alone, using the trial to prove the genuineness of our faith and bringing out the beauty of our faith. You see, gold is, all the impurities are burned off in the fire, and it makes it very beautiful. Our beauty of our faith will come out by the trial. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 to 10, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though you now see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. We haven't seen with our natural eyes. We haven't seen, but we have seen with other eyes. The Lord has opened our spiritual eyes, and we have believed because He has shown us. And because we believe, we greatly rejoice. We greatly rejoice. I remind you again, it's a rejoicing that flows from our heart. We say, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift that He has granted us, the salvation of our souls. And then we say to ourselves, kings and prophets longed to see what we see, but they didn't see it. Oh, we see the mercy and the grace and such clarity in the light, what the Lord Jesus has given us. They long to see what we see, but it's been revealed unto us. We are so thankful for what the Lord has done. We have been granted access to the throne of grace. What a privilege that's bestowed upon us. We are adopted and made children of God. We are children of the resurrection. We are granted glorious liberty as the children of God. They didn't have all this, the prophets of old, but we have been granted it. We can give thanks unto the Lord. They saw dimly, but we see clearly. Let us rejoice in what has been abundantly granted to us. Let us never despise these mercies, but let us rejoice and enter them with the fullness of rejoicing. As I begin to draw to a close, I have been speaking about an inheritance. The question is this: are you ready to depart to your inheritance? Do you have an inheritance? Are you a child of God? Are you an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ Jesus? This is the only worthwhile inheritance. People often say, I wish I had a rich relative that would, in his will, leave me a lot of wealth, a huge inheritance, much money. Oh, but let me tell you something. That wouldn't solve our deepest problems. And with that great wealth that came, it would bring many cares. The blessing, as much money as possibly you could receive, it wouldn't bring a cure to an aching heart. It wouldn't lighten a heavy and a burdened conscience. It cannot keep away family troubles. It cannot prevent sickness from coming to us. You can get all the money in the world, but it cannot stop your loved ones dying. It cannot stop separations. So this natural inheritance, it brings, there are disappointments. Even although you may have a great inheritance, but with the eternal inheritance, with the inheritance that comes to the heirs of God, there are no disappointments. The greatest inheritance that we can receive on this earth from natural man, even although it be billions upon billions, we cannot carry 1 cent of it past the grave. But the inheritance that God gives us, it is kept for eternity, forever and ever. It lasts forever. It's kept safe where we may enjoy it forever and ever. The inheritance that I'm speaking of is a gift that is offered by God, whosoever will. Most people, they work very hard, hoping to get rich, hoping to get recognized, hoping to get great in their profession, but few obtain it. But glory and honor and eternal life is offered freely to whosoever will. Let him who thirsts come and drink. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We must remember that if we desire this eternal inheritance in heaven, then the first step to receive that inheritance is to become and be adopted as a child of God. There is no inheritance if you are not one of His children. If you are unsure of your salvation, I exhort you, come to Christ today. Whoever so will, let him take the waters of life freely, and he shall be adopted as a child of the Most High God. Amen.